You're listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
101.5 The Hawk. Hello and good evening. I am Johnny Athens, of course. This is my variety show. You are the listener, and here's what you'll be listening to this hour on 101.5 The Hawk. We have plenty of music, comedy, interviews, and so much more. Singing, dancing, spectacles. We have a mime. That's right. Today we have a mime on the program. So we'll be doing some stuff with him as well. Who else do we have? We have, Louis Armstrong has an interview as well as some wonderful music paired with Ella Fitzgerald. Jim Gaffigan comes to do some Canadian comedy on his comments on his tours across Canada, and then we also have the Archie Shepp Quartet, Earl Bostick, Ahmed Jamal, Haggard Hardy, and Sonny Greenwich. You know, I figured we'll keep some Canadian stuff. There's plenty of Canadian music that we could play through all of July if we really wanted to. So I figured from now on, might as well keep a couple in there. You know, meet our requirements, of course, but also just celebrate some of the great art that the people of this nation have produced. So Sonny Greenwich is coming up in a bit, that guitarist we talked about last week. Very talented man. Of course, quite a bit has happened in the past week. Last Wednesday was Canada Day, and we celebrated here, as well as... Well, actually, no, it was on Thursday. I apologize. But we celebrated on June 30th, of course. And then July 4th happened on Sunday. So we just had fireworks going the whole weekend there. And a certain celebrity, or I guess notable figure, Mark Zuckerberg, of course famous for being the CEO of that fact-stealing Facebook, lights up Twitter. He was found... surfboarding while holding the American flag and boasting John Denver. Nothing quite as American as that, though I don't think when John Denver said, "Take me home, country roads," he meant by paddleboard. I don't think anyone's surfboarded on the Shenandoah River, and I'm not sure how far the waves in Wyoming can reach. Another thing going on in America this past week was in California. Somebody has this kind of rotunda house that looks a bit like the things from the Flintstones that those cavemen lived in, and they ended up in quite a dispute with the city, ending up in a lawsuit, because apparently this house is just so robust and ugly, it was being sued for being a highly visible eyesore. Which is also the reason Justin Trudeau had to shave his beard. Political analysts say he did, for the presumed election that might come up, he will finally be able to reinstate his wonderful hair. They say the beard was taking away from the hair, so he had to it had to go. Apparently, the professionals in a circle told him that the beard had to go so people could just focus on the hair and hopefully not on what's coming out of his mouth. Yes, but this back to the Flintstone house, to be honest, it looks nothing like the homes in the Flintstones. It's orange and purple and really round and weird, and it's just littered with lawn decorations of Fred Flintstone's aliens. There's a buggy from like Snow White or something in there. Apparently, she somewhat won the case because the town is paying her $125,000, but she has to have building permits for some of the things that she has, and in the future, people will need permits for putting up certain sculptures, regardless of their theme. So that's what's been going on around the world, I guess, well, on our little continent this week. And what's going on in the show? Of course, we have Ahmed Jamal and Louis Armstrong coming up. But first, here is Sonny Greenwich with Parting on 101.5 The Hawk.
Thank you. Thank you.
101.5 The Hawk, welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. I am the titular character, Johnny Athens, and that was Ahmed Jamal with Swahili Land. Prior to that, we had Sunny Greenwich with Parting, and up next we have Jim Gaffigan. But first, we have an interview with Louis Armstrong. This is from 1964 in Ravinia, Illinois, near Chicago. The interview was done, as they'll tell you, by Michael Eisner and James Stein when they were just teenagers for their high school radio station. They got the chance to meet and talk with him. Louis Armstrong, they have some of his music in there, and he just talks about, what he does and how he is. And then after that, we'll have a little song by him and Ella Fitzgerald, and then even more great stuff coming up on the program. Jim Gaffigan, Earl Bostick, Archie Shepp, and more on 101.5 The Hawk.
Here's a question you probably heard about 6 million times. Where did you first pick up the name Satchmo?
You know, all the musicians in my days had nicknames. My name was Satchel Mouth, like a doctor's satchel. Well, I went to England. This fellow was strictly English, and he was the editor of the newspaper there. He shook my hand as they got off the train. He said, hello, Satchmo. So right away, my trauma bliss said, the man think you have more mouth than Satchmo. So I was stuck with it, and it turned out all right.
Old the shark has pretty teeth, dear, and he shows them.
I'm James R. Stein.
I'm Michael Eisner.
I was 14 and a half.
And I was 15 years old, and James and I went off to interview Louis Armstrong for our high school radio station, WNTH, from Neutcher High School in Winnetka, Illinois.
When the shark bites with his teeth, dear.
To set the stage, it was June 24th, 1964. We're at Ravinia. It's an outdoor concert. The place is sold out. We get to go backstage, so we're watching his concert.
Take it, Satch.
I remember it was a hot summer night, but for some reason, he was speaking to us in his underwear.
Definitely was in his underwear. I remember the tank top, and I also remember...
I wasn't sure if it was jockey or boxer.
It was boxers.
Boxers.
Louis Armstrong wore boxers. He was literally fending off the Chicago Sun-Times and the Daily News, WGN, I remember that. And he would just say out the doors, excuse me, but I'm in an interview. And he gave us an outrageous amount of time, 20 minutes, sat there with a couple of kids.
Mr. Armstrong, I'll begin the questioning by asking you just when, where, and how did you begin your show business career?
As a youngster in the little orphanage home in New Orleans, I was the bugler of the institution, and when I got to be around 13 or 14 years old, they took me off the bugle and put me in the little brass band. Finally, they made me the leader of the little band on the cornet. So we got so good that we could play the Saints Go Marching In for the boys to march to church every Sunday.
Who would you say was essentially responsible for launching your professional career?
Well, I'd say myself, because I was determined. I had a chance to play with the best of musicians coming through, because I was pretty good myself, or else they wouldn't have tolerated with me, you know? You got to be good, or bad is the devil.
When the saints marching in,
you can't take it for granted. Even if we have 2-3 days off, I still had to blow that horn a few hours to keep up the chops. I mean, I've been playing 50 years, and that's what I've been doing in order to keep in that groove there.
Still got to practice.
I got to warm up every day, at least an hour, you know. You either have it or you don't. You play your horn just like you sing a song or a hymn. If it's in your heart, you express yourself in the tune. I've been playing music so long, what else there's to do? What can you prove at 64? I mean, as far as trying to create what, you know? So the best I can do is stay happy.
We hope you stay happy for a very, very long time. Thank you very much, Mr. Armstrong.
Okay, Daddy.
It's a pleasure interviewing you.
Yes, stars shining bright above you. Night breezes sing to whisper I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore trees. Dream a little dream of me, yes.
I want to wring my neck back then because, you know, I wasn't involved in a conversation with the man. I was asking him questions, and sometimes I wasn't even listening to his answers. I wish that, you know, I could have done some following up like I might do now and actually engage him in a conversation. But because we were so nervous, I think you kind of stick to the script.
But I linger on, dear, still craving your kiss.
These little prepubescent sounding kids and this guy with this gravelly, incredible voice. But he gave us time and respected us.
This, yes. Sweet dreams till sunbeam find ya. Sweet dream that leave all worries behind you. But in your dreams, whatever.
Savoy, the home of sweet romance. Savoy, it wins you at a glance. Savoy gives happy feet a chance to dance. Your form just like a clinging vine. Your lips so warm and sweet as wine. Your cheeks so soft and close to mine. Glide and sway, Savoy, there let me stomp away with you.
When you say
see old Puerto Rico at the bottom. Da ba ba da 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 da. Oh yes, balade. When you dance fast, but that fast is it? That is that it. Say one more. He must be looking at Lila after. One more, Daddy. One more. When we was in Atlantic City. No, we won't talk about that. Yeah, we talking about Savoy.
The Hawk, that was Earl Bostick with Earl's Imagination, a really wonderful bebop and hard-hitting tune that just has every instrument playing its part. Before that, we had Stompin' at the Savoy with Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong, and prior to that, a little, I guess, amateur interview from Michael Eisner and James R. Stein with Louis Armstrong from 1964. A great little tidbit, you know. He talks about how even though he didn't have gigs or anything planned, he would still practice every day. And in another interview, a different one, Louis says that he plays, or he played, I guess, at least 1 hour every day. Even if he had a show, he would practice for 1 hour every day playing the trumpet. So that shows really serious commitment. But another guy who's really committed to his craft is Jim Gaffigan. And we have him here now doing a bit from his special that came out about a year ago and is on Amazon, Amazon Prime, if you have their television service, called The Pale Tourist. And this is from his sightseeings and his adventures in and across Canada. So here is Jim Gaffigan on 101.5 The Hawk.
I do feel like the map of Canada looks unfinished. It's so detailed on the East Coast, and then it's just wide open spaces. It's almost like someone was working on it and they fell asleep. And his boss comes over and is like, "Are you done? What? I just got to put some names in Prince Edward Island and Nova Scotia. Oh, so much land. Newfound land." The boss is like, "Are you done?" Yeah, I'm done. Columbia, that's a country, all right. British Columbia. I've been to British Columbia. It's not very British or Colombian. Vancouver was like a rainy Seattle. Spent a week in Vancouver. Somehow it rained for 2 weeks. Well, you guys had fun naming things Vancouver out there in British Columbia. Vancouver Island, Vancouver City, which is not on Vancouver Island. North Vancouver, West Vancouver, South Vancouver. You know, Washington State, you can have a Vancouver. Everyone gets a Vancouver. Everyone gets one. It does appear you guys struggled with naming things a little bit. It's like Regina, Moose Jaw. Do you want people to go these places? And then, of course, there's the St. John, St. John's fiasco. St. John, New Brunswick, and then right next to it, St. John's, Newfoundland. I'm saying this like you don't know. We know! We live here, we know! But it never came up? Nobody took a boat from one place to the other one. "Hey, that other place has the same name as this place." Nobody confronted Newfoundland like, "Hey, Newfoundland, St. John, New Brunswick is the oldest city in Canada, so don't use that name." And Newfoundland's like, okay. "Oh, shoot. Well, what happened?" No, it's different. It's different. Our capital, St. John's. "That's the same name." No, it's different. You spell out Saint and ours is just ST, so it could stand for street. "Does yours stand for street?" "No, it stands for Saint." "But ours ends with an apostrophe S, so it's possessive. So like when Saint John comes back, he's gonna be like, "Where do I go? I don't know where I go. He's gonna go to the Virgin Islands. Who are we kidding? I think it's fascinating that there's a part of Canada called the Northwest Territories, still. Today, I wasn't looking at a map from the 1600s or watching an episode of Deadwood. Name your country! Northwest, you know, there are people that live there. What kind of civic pride? Well, where we're from in the Northwest Territories, or as we call ourselves, the Northwest Territorians. Go terror. You know. How dismissive. It's like Northwest Territories. Can we be a province? No. You may not. How about a territory or a yard? How about Northwest Storage Area? Of course, the Northwest Territories are smaller because in the 90s, the Inuit people were like, we'd like our own territories. And the Canadian government was like, oh, we didn't even know people live there. Sure. What do you want your territories to be called? We'd like, none of it. Are you going to tell them or?
It's a great name. Great name, none of it, love it. Sorry for stealing all the land. Anyway, we got a hockey game we're watching, so. I think it's strange. Like, Canada, it starts off normal. The further east you go, the crazier it gets. Like, Newfoundland is like, bam, 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 bam. Bam, 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 bam. Newfoundland is like the crazy uncle that you don't introduce to friends until you've known them for a long time. You're like, I don't want them to think I'm like them. Everything is crazy in Newfoundland. Everything. It's like, in Newfoundland, what? Time zones, do you want to be in the same time zone as the Maritimes? We'll go a half hour earlier. Worldwide, time zones are done by the hour. We'll go half hour. Okay. Just final housekeeping here. Is Newfoundland three words or two words? One word. Thank you very much. Thank you. Because Canada starts off pretty normal on the West Coast. British Columbia, you know, it's like beautiful natural resources. They shoot TV shows and movies there. That's like your California, right? And then there's Alberta, where it's like oil and cowboys. That's like your Texas. And then there's Saskatchewan, which we've established are all perverts. Looks like I'm not performing in Saskatchewan again. And then there's Manitoba, which Manitoba is like that friend you invite last to the party. And only because you forgot they existed. Canada picks on Winnipeg, right? That was kind of a big... I remember I was in Toronto and I was going to Winnipeg and it was my first show there and everyone in Toronto was like, oh, bring a coat! Winnipeg! Hope you like cold weather! I'm not sleeping outside. Then I got to Winnipeg and I was like, oh, they're right. They're right. They nailed it. I went to Winnipeg in February. Well, that's when you want to go. It was 50 below. 50! By the way, at that point, it doesn't matter if it's Celsius or Fahrenheit. It's kind of like hell. It's just bad. And you forget how cold it is. You forget how cold it is, and then you step outside, and you're like, oh! And that's why your national anthem starts that way. It's like, oh, Canada! I convince half of you don't know the rest of the words. It's like, oh, Canada, the pipes are calling. I'm glad to land. People were so nice in Winnipeg. It was freezing. And they kept apologizing for the weather. They're like, sorry it's so cold. I was like, I'm almost positive it's not your fault. But they kept apologizing. Sorry about the weather. Eventually, I was like, did you not pay a bill or something? Does weather work different up here? I was in Winnipeg for 2 days. Kept running into people from the Philippines. I learned later on a lot of people from the Philippines have emigrated to Winnipeg. I know nothing about the Philippines except for that it's a tropical paradise, which Winnipeg is not. Which brings up the question, how bad are things in the Philippines? If you're moving to Winnipeg, you really want to move? I got to get out of here. Would you move to a place where you can't go outside? I'll go. All right, grab your flip-flops. Let's go. I can say that joke because I'm from the Philippines.
On 1.5 The Hawk, welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour here on the FM station, your favorite FM station. Or maybe it's not. Maybe your second favorite, third, fourth, I don't know. But hey, you're listening, you're here now, and I thank you for tuning in for this week's show. That is about it for this hour on this Wednesday. I thank you for listening, and I thank you to those who think of listening. Your thoughts, they count for something. Okay, that's it counts for something, because that's all I got here. You know, I'm here in the station. I just think, oh, wow, look at all those people out there listening. I want to thank, of course, Marie Cassidy, Jim Gaffigan, Louis Armstrong, Michael Eisner, and James Stein, especially, as well as all the wonderful musicians, Ahmed Jamal, Sonny Greenwich, Earl Bostick, Frank Foster, and that was Haggard Hardy just before me here with Masquerade. And up next, to close out our show for this week, we have Archie Shepp. But before I go, just one thing to say is that if you enjoyed the show and want to kind of stay in touch and see more about what's going on, I have social media. Who doesn't? It's 2021. Almost said 2020 there. And yeah, that's Facebook, Johnny Athens Entertainment, and Instagram, johnny.athens. Just so you can find. And you can also listen to the show online. If you miss an episode, you can go to the radio station's website, 115thehawk.mohawkcollege, and you can listen to the archived shows if you miss out. Just a fun little tidbit I thought I'd share with you, as well as any other shows that play on the station. So there you go. And you can always listen live on there as well. So enough of the ramblings from me. I thank you once again for tuning in. I can't wait to hear from you next week, and I hope I'll see you then. Here is Archie Shepp with What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life on 101.5 The Hawk.
Thank you.